lesson today is from the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. The thought of my affliction, my homelessness, is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Before reading the second scripture reading, I just wanted to take a personal moment. Since Kathy brought up the anniversary of my becoming pastor here and Peg and I moving into the community, I just want to say that it has indeed been a blessing and a pleasure for us, an honor to be here. In many ways, it doesn't seem like 4 years. It seems like it was only yesterday. And it continues to be a blessing and an honor to be among you. So thank you for all that you do for this community. And we will continue to work together as we move into the future. Thank you. Our next scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke. Jeff has already referred to this scripture in the time of the children. It is rather famous and familiar parable that Jesus tells, and it is told in several of the Gospels. And today we look at Luke's version of this, which is quite different than we hear in some of the other synoptic gospels. So I encourage you to listen to this with attentive ears and hearts. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. A corporate lawyer by the name of Nathan Sawaya gave up his career as a corporate attorney and devoted his life to art. I think some of you have probably seen his art. He had a world famous exhibition in Tampa just a couple of years ago, And had I the time this morning, I would have put some examples of his heart on our PowerPoint. But his medium is Legos. Is it ringing a bell here now? Do you remember a couple of years ago in Tampa, the Lego art exhibition? And this is quite amazing art. Very lifelike human figures. There's one that's very striking, and it's a person opening up their chest with the heart visible. Reminds me very much of that famous painting made from a quote by John Knox that says living the gospel is like having your heart in your hand. But Nathan Sawaya's medium was Legos. He had always loved Legos when he was growing up, and he was quite creative with them, and he finally just gave up a lucrative career as an attorney and devoted his life to his art, and Legos became far more than his other career would have ever been. The reason I tell you this story this morning is because I want to run us through a little linguistic exercise this morning. I often do this because I have a fascination with language, and I'm always wanting to know what do words mean? And how are they put together? What is the etymology of the language that we use? And this morning, I want to talk to us first about the word religion. Religion. Whenever you have a word that starts out with re, that's a signal to us that it's something comes before it. And you are re whatever it is. So what is religion? Religion. The root of religion in the Greek is, guess what? Lego. Meaning to connect. Reconnect. Lego means to reconnect. It can also mean to choose. It can also mean to consider carefully. You do all of these things when you're working with Legos, don't you? Reconnect. This is a more ancient Greek understanding, a more modern understanding of the etymology of religion comes from actually a verb connected to Lego, legare, which means to reconnect. Religion, reconnecting. Just the same way we do with Legos. And what I want to suggest to us this morning is that religion is a place where we reconnect in many, many different ways. We reconnect with God. We reconnect with one another. We reconnect with our basic humanity. And so if you stop and think about it for just a moment, reconnecting is a very, very important concept and exercise for us to consider in our lives, especially when we live in a world that at times seems to be so disconnected. And religion is the process of reconnecting. But how do we reconnect? How do we go about taking the disconnection that we experience and sense in our lives and actually reconnecting? And I want to suggest to us this morning that we do that through another reword, actually two rewords, but the primary one is one that is at the center of our religion. And that is remembering. Now you can even take the word remember and think of it in terms of reconnecting. If you think of member as a part and you remember something rather as which would be the opposite of dismember. You remember. But more importantly to us and in our tradition, the remember that's on the front of the communion table, the remember that is all through our scriptures, the remember that's at the very core of the Exodus tradition. Remember. This is the act of actually recalling who we really are. I want to dissect that just a little bit. There's a very real difference between remembering and recalling. We think of the words as the two things, but remembering has to do with memory. And memory is something that is with us. It's in us. You might say that memory is the storehouse of our whole experience of life. Some people would say, and you can't argue with it much, that everything that ever happens to us, everything we ever hear, everything we ever say gets stored away in our memory. But recollection is actually recalling an event or a word or a feeling or an experience from that memory bank. The memory bank becomes who we are, our life experience, but we recall who we really are from those experiences. Now we're going to take this linguistic exercise and bring it into the scripture readings we heard this morning. First, from the book of Lamentations, I want to suggest to you sometime, maybe this afternoon, if you've got the time and it's fresh, is go read the book of Lamentations. It's a very short book. Comes right after Isaiah and Jeremiah. The book of Lamentations is about the suffering, the disconnection in the nation of Israel during the time of exile and during the time of the city of Jerusalem actually being destroyed. It's the story of a country coming apart and being disconnected. Walter Brueggemann says that the proper place probably for the book of Lamentations actually is somewhere in the book of Isaiah. Go to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Between the 39th chapter of Isaiah and the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and Walter Brueggemann says that's where you put Lamentations. Because the first part of Isaiah is you better straighten out or you're gonna lose it. You're gonna end up having your country overtaken and you're going into exile. And guess what? It happens. And there's lamentation. And the second part of Isaiah is looking forward into the future, into the promise of a return to the homeland. And our section this morning is a little slice of grace right in the middle of the book of Lamentation. And I want to point out, the very first verse says, "The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall." This is a short description of this national disconnection and angst and suffering. "My soul continually thinks of it, and it is bowed down within me. I can't think of anything else." And here comes the grace. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." But this I call to mind. This I recall. This I remember. And it gives me hope. And then it goes in for several verses and talks about the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. It talks about the Lord is my portion. I will have hope in God. It says the Lord is good to those who wait, to those who seek the Lord. It's recalling, it's remembering that is our hope whenever we are living in times of disconnection. And I want to suggest, my friends, that we're living in some times of disconnection. And if you haven't sensed it or seen it, you're really not paying attention. But our hope is in our memory. Our hope is in reconnecting, in remembering, in recollecting what is already in our memory. And that brings us to the Gospel of Luke. I want to suggest to us that this mustard seed that Jesus talks about is the very essence that is already within us, to remind us who we are and how we are to live. That's the mustard seed. And Jesus is saying, you don't need a whole lot of great faith and theological knowledge. You just got to remember who you are. You've got to have that mustard seed of faith. And that mustard seed of faith will remind you who you are, created in the image of the eternal divine presence that permeates all creation. Now surely this parable has this language about the slave and the slave owner. This was the cultural context in which Jesus told that parable. But the core message of that parable is we already know who we are and we already know what we're supposed to do. We just have to remember it. We were in a class one night, one Wednesday evening, I think, and we were discussing some different things, and somebody says, "Well, now that we've talked about this, what do we do?" And somebody else in the class chimed in and says, "Well, I think we know what to do. It's just a matter of doing it." And I think as people of faith, as followers of Jesus, we know what to do. We know that Jesus calls us to love God with all our heart and mind and soul, and to love one another as we love God, as God loves us, and as we love ourselves. Love. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the mustard seed. And on this World Communion Sunday, we are reminded that each and every human being that has ever drawn a breath, draws a breath, or will draw a breath, has that mustard seed, that presence of God. And we are called on World Communion Sunday to the table that has written right on the front of it, "Remember." Recall that mustard seed of love that is deep in each and every one of us. Amen. In the end, we are one. In the beginning, we are one. There is one creation. There is one God. There is one earth. There is one human family. We are one. And the presence of God permeates it all. Love. Go from this place knowing that we are one in the love of God. Amen.